Yeah, welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody had an outstanding weekend. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. A little tired. I don't know if you guys stayed up for the whole last regular season game in the NFL. Pretty incredible game. But I'm sad. I'm sad that Derrick Henry ended up, 26 yards short of a rushing title, and that he's not going to be in the playoffs, and that Lamar Jackson's not going to be in the playoffs. All due respect to the Steelers. And also, by the way, for the Titans, they go fourth-round pick to fifth-round pick with that one, too. With one college kicker moment, make a frickin' field goal to win a game. It's not a long field goal. After, the Steelers kicker has a college kicker moment at extra point, we miss out on all that. And the Titans miss out on a round of a draft pick. So that was just me just talking for a long time, but I'm kind of tired, okay? And that's really the bottom line.
That's the root of it. I mean, you're right. It was a 44-yarder for old boy
correct.
Last night
yeah.
for the Ravens. But you knew when it left its foot was not going in. I mean, it's always fun to watch the crowd in those situations. They started going nuts like immediately as soon as the ball left his foot. It was funny.
Yeah. I mean, look at some of these plays by Lamar Jackson, man. I'm sorry. I think they could have made a run. We'll never know.
They have zero defense. Their defense
With Hamilton being out. Yeah, but that's the thing. Their defense is sort of like – randomly good at times, but
I think it's like 29th in the NFL.
Yeah,
it's not very good.
Yeah, but I mean, you watch them play; like they can make plays. Now they have to have Kyle Hamilton to make plays.
Yeah.
He's great. He got carted off, so they probably they would have had to outscore anybody they played. But still, like, are the Steelers going to beat anybody? No, they're
probably
gonna get killed, and they're not going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, look, I don't know. Houston, their defense, man, they may shut out the Steelers. I don't know. We'll see what happens on that front, but their defense is disgusting.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, good for him. He made some big plays last night. He made a couple of fantastic passes. He lucked out. You know, poor Chidobe Awuzie just falls down, on the gimme touchdown. But he looks skittish a little bit with passers. Again, we're talking about the Ravens.
Yeah.
Texans coming in there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. They better come up with some smoke and mirrors for that game.
It's far. How we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Yeah, I wish I would have stayed up for last night. It's like, okay, I was driving in this morning, be like, man, I'm really going to have to power through during the playoffs so I don't miss these games, because this is a pretty good one.
Gotta
last
make
night.
Choices.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to have to power through during the playoffs so I don't miss some of these. Last night it seemed like it was entertaining when I went back and rewatched and just caught up to all the stuff. So
it was pretty good.
But yeah, doing good. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Thanks.
We got a lot going on this week. The Titans season has now come to an end, and we are officially, Joe, in head coach watch here with the Tennessee Titans. And we're going to get to that, I'm sure, throughout the week, probably the next couple of weeks here, depending on how long this process is going to take for the Tennessee Titans. But we will have you covered on all that throughout however long it takes here. But we have officially arrived at the offseason for the Tennessee Titans. And, Joe, it started off promising yesterday for the Titans. They had Jacksonville, three and out on their first drive. The Titans come down the field, and they score a touchdown. And you saw kind of as soon as it happened, they scored the touchdown. They showed the replay, and you could immediately see Cam Ward and pretty big amount of discomfort getting up from the play. And that was all she wrote for Cam Ward on the day. He finishes 3 of 3, 52 yards, ran in the touchdown for the Titans' only score of the day. Then he was done for the day, and the fear is that it could be a grade 3 AC joint sprain. So, we'll see exactly what that means for the timeline of what he's able to do this offseason, whether or not there will be surgery involved and all that. We'll get into that throughout the show today, but that was about all it was for the Titans. As soon as he left the game, they got totally dominated in the game. 41-7, the final score between Jacksonville and the Titans yesterday.
Yeah, pretty unwatchable game.
Yep.
Pretty good indication that maybe the Titans could probably upgrade at backup quarterback.
Might be
something that they might want to add to the list. I'm sure it was already on the list this offseason. But really just brutal. And if it is grade three, it's just a brutal way for the season to end, man. Because, and we'll see, I'm sure we'll have today official word on that. But if that's the case, you can go without surgery, and you're talking, you know, quite a long period. I mean, I think possibly about 3 months of not being able to do anything. So no matter what, a lot of this off-season progress that everybody's been talking about is going to be cut into.
Yep.
But if you have to have surgery, and again, that's got to be a decision I think made pretty quickly, then you could be – that could be up to 9 months. So we could be talking about – I mean, we could be wondering if Cam Ward's going to be ready for the opener. It's just – you know, you look at that play, it didn't look like that much. But sometimes that's how it works with these things. And for anybody – and this is an injury that happens, but to happen your throwing shoulder is not good for a quarterback. You know, if anybody remembers Will Levis, he put that picture out with the lump, you know, the big bump in his shoulder. That's a grade three that's not surgically repaired, which is the way they decided to go. And, you know, with Levis, it's like there was other stuff going on. So, I mean, it's like.
And then he had surgery.
Right.
At some point way after.
And then he.
We've never seen or heard from him since.
Yeah, right. Hey, Levis, are you available to quarterback next year? Yeah. Will Levis, paging Will Levis. But it's just bad. It's a bad deal. Either way, it's like if you don't have the surgery, okay, then you can get back to work earlier. But then people are going to be, you know, it's like, okay, is that going to be enough? Is it going to come back? I just hate the idea of like, you know, to me, again, not being a doctor, but just that lump and everything. It's like, you really feel like it's going to be okay if you don't have surgery?
Yeah. To me, all that, a valid concern, and we'll see whether or not surgery ends up being required. The bottom line is, regardless of whether or not he's got surgery, this is going to cut in to a significant portion of the offseason from the standpoint of how much progress is he going to be able to make in terms of the footwork, in terms of all the things we've talked about for 17 weeks now that he's going to have to work on heading into the offseason. How much progress in those areas is he going to be able to make now that he's going to have to spend at least a significant portion of the offseason rehabbing? That is the very unfortunate part of this. Like, I think, you know, he's eventually going to be all right. Like, he's going to be able to throw the ball again. He's going to be fine. But how much does this cut into what we have talked about a lot being a very important offseason for him in terms of improving some of those fundamentals, making sure that you're more accurate next year when you're sitting in the pocket and you got those gimme throws that you've got to have? A lot of that comes down to mechanics. And is this going to be a hindrance to that in the offseason? You'd have to – it's hard for me to think it won't be.
Yeah. No, it absolutely will be. I mean, to me, the work was going to be starting – you know, you take a little break and then you get after it. So, it's just – like you said, you should be fine. But it's also – I mean, you know, it's just now that's something that's been seriously hurt and either surgically repaired or not, but it's just something that moving forward you of course worry about, right? I mean, it's just you just don't want the throwing shoulder.
Well, and it's the other thing is, you know, it's football. Things like this happen. You know, we've been talking all year about how, hey, when there are opportunities, sometimes he just maybe is a little hesitant to pull the ball down and run. And then, you know, they pull the ball down, they run, and he ends up hurt at the end of it. When he's been so durable all year, too. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
I mean, up until yesterday, he had taken every snap at quarterback for the Titans. He was the only quarterback in the league that had taken every single snap for his team throughout the year. And then in that last game of the year that, you know, doesn't mean a whole lot for anybody except Jacksonville. And he's out there, and that's when he gets hurt. That's just – it's tough. It's a tough blow to end the season.
All the sacks he took this year.
Yeah.
A massive number. He was on pace for David Carr-level sacks, and he's fine. And then that happens. And I do think the announcers were talking about his durability, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so that's, you know. Tough. Also, we've talked about all these parallels. You know, it's like 10 years later. Not exactly, but, of course, you think back to Mariota. And look, I do think – I'm not saying this is the case with Cam, but I absolutely think that broken leg Mariota suffered at Jacksonville hurt his career. He had different injuries later and all that stuff. But I do think it was a factor in how he played after that.
Well, let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Robert. Good morning, Joe. Hey, your name's Joe, right? So I think I'm going to start calling you Jeremiah Oliver Edward Brinkthrow. In other words, that's Joe. So that's your new name now, Joe.
Jeremiah Oliver Edward. All right.
Yeah. But, hey, Robbie. Joe, I really thought that was a bad decision by the Titans yesterday. I would have played Cam a couple of series, and he's done the rest of the year. Nothing else to prove. He's played against all the elite defenses. He took the exam. He's passed the test for the most part. I wouldn't have played him like that yesterday. That was a bad decision by the Titans. So now, does that open the door, Robbie, Joe, that you hold on to Levis because you don't know what's going to go on with Cam, the rehab? He's going to have to have surgery or not. I mean, does that open the door for the Titans to keep Will Levis? And, Joe, I want to ask you this question also. It's Black Monday today. Atlanta Falcons didn't give Raheem Morris time to even take a shower and put his underwear on yesterday, and they fired him.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you picked Baltimore, and I like Baltimore too, but it's something going on with Lamar and Harbaugh. Is Harbaugh going to be one of those coaches on Black Monday or any time this week? Is he going to lose his job? You think it's time for him to go, or they need a change? Because something doesn't hold right in Baltimore. Something's missing, Joe.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Question. First of all,
see y'all later, man.
All right. See you, Mark. I mean, I think that's something we can get to at some point. The Harbaugh, it's fascinating.
Yep.
I think, again, we talked about the Andy Reid thing with Mike Tomlin. I think it's the same thing with him, possibly.
Yep.
But I got to say, I got to disagree with Mark on the – and I know this is easy to do because he got hurt. I mean, of course you're going to play Cam Ward in the last game.
I had no problem.
You're going to play him every snap of every game. I mean, you can't
– you can't put him in bubble.
You're about to go in the off season.
Yeah.
And not play football forever. I understand he got hurt and it's easy. I just disagree. You play him and, you know, also, by the way, that was a designed run.
So yeah, it was.
You can rip on that if you want. We kick Mike McCoy in the butt on his way out the door. If you like, but I just, you know, it's football, man. I really don't have a problem with it. I mean, I have more of a problem, like, totally off topic, but if we're going to go the flip side of this, I think the Eagles should have played and won, and they'd be the 2 seed, and they'd get the Packers instead of the Niners. And also, if they won, they'd get the Bears at home instead of the Bears on the road.
Yeah.
I'd go that way, but that's just me.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Titans get hammered 41-7 by Jacksonville yesterday to close out the season. Cam Ward down with an injury, and that is going to linger into the offseason. We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Titans lose 41-7 to close out the season in Jacksonville yesterday. Cam Ward down with a shoulder injury. And the fear is potentially a grade 3 AC joint sprain. So we will hopefully find out official word on that a little bit later today. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025.
Josh from Cookeville, Jacksonline driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. As soon as Fox put up that graphic, that's what it was. They put up a graphic. They missed snap all year. Yep, there you go. Knew it would happen.
Thanks.
Casey and Gallon, you told me, apparently they were talking about it on post game. Casey and Gallon said, it might just be me. I felt like it was a dirty hit on Cam. He'd already scored. The guy came in and lowered the boom unnecessarily. I thought
it was a bang bang play at the goal line.
Yeah, I think the guy, I mean, you gotta, unless you can sometimes halt yourself midair like you're a superhero, I don't think I didn't think it was dirty.
I didn't walk away thinking it was a dirty hit. I mean, sometimes stuff happens in the game of football. Look, the timing of it sucks. There's no doubt about that. There's never a great time for your quarterback to get hurt. But, you know, when he's been as healthy as he's been all year long and he makes it through the end of the year and on the last game of the season, now you're going to deal with some rehab heading into the offseason, that's not good. So, I mean, the timing of it is terrible for Cam Ward.
It sucks. And I know people want to find a culprit, but it's just bad luck. It's really what this is.
Well, and, you know, it puts a bow on a year where, like you said, I mean, he'd been under duress a lot of the year, a lot of sacks, some of those on the offensive line, some of those on him, but he had gotten up from all those hits. And really, Joe, like, I was thinking about this when I saw him wincing yesterday. This is before he even ran back to the locker room. I was like, I don't recall seeing him do that at all this year. Like, not only had he gotten up from everything, I don't even recall him being, like, in pain.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. he just had always hopped right back up. So that part of it makes it even more unfortunate here, too. But, I mean, it does wrap up his rookie season on the whole with knowing that now there's going to be at least some rehab in front of him here. If you're the Titans and you see the finished product now of his first season, how are you feeling about Cam Ward at the end of year one?
Fine, I think. I'm trying to I don't want to use the word mid. That would be what the kids say these days. And I think mid is more of an insult, right?
I would agree.
Yeah. So I'm not trying. I think it was solid. It's solid, fair. Pretty good. Like, there's some promise, there's some hope. It wasn't spectacular, but again, this is where you get into just, you know, trying to separate the individual performance out of what collectively was going on around the quarterback. And sometimes people do that too much. Now, look, a quarterback who I think, and again, we got a postseason to play, and we'll see. I will bring up Sam Darnold, not because the Titans should have signed him. I'm not saying that, but just in terms of, I do think that last year there was a lot of like, yeah, but look at everything around him. He was on scout. It's the opposite of this, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you can go overboard with either of those ideas. But it was just a bad situation around Cam Ward. I thought the intangibles, I think, are really strong. I think he did get better. He has the ability to make some plays that are like, holy cow, not many people in the world can do that. And he has to he's got to be able to pop that strike zone or hit that jump shot, however you want to call it. You got to be more consistent, which, of course, as we just talked about, now becomes more difficult for him. But I think it was solid.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, he ends up with a 59.8% completion percentage, 3,169 yards, 15 touchdowns, 7 picks. And I think beyond the numbers, when you look at everything else going on around him, I think the key point is about halfway through the year, I was concerned. I was like, yeah, this is not looking good. And it was more than just the coaching debacle that had gone on and the firing of Brian Callahan and the roster. And he was missing way too many throws where it's just like, ugh, I don't know, man. That's not good. And he still missed some throws as the season went on. But as we talked about over the last couple of weeks, I think there was clearly some progress that he made. And that, to me, is where you're feeling the best if you're if you're the Titans front office right now. You know, Borgonzi spoke, I want to say, right after the deadline. And they asked him about, you know, to that point, the progress that Cam Ward had made. And he said, you know, he basically looks like a rookie quarterback out there. There's some good, there's some bad, but he looks like a rookie quarterback on a team that had the number one overall pick last year. And I think there was some truth to that. I think you're also not going to see the general manager in that situation going up and be like, yeah, I'm pretty concerned about how our number one overall quarterback looks right now. I think since then, I mean, you're talking about, I guess it was probably, Joe, the Seattle game, where, you know, they're getting hammered in the first part of that game. They mounted a little bit of a comeback in the second half. That's when things started to go well for them. Now, I think they played Jacksonville, if memory serves me correctly, the week after that, and it did not go well. And then from that point on, I think there's been real progress made, not only by Ward, but by the offense, by the team as a whole. So that's, again, what makes yesterday so frustrating is he comes out on that first drive against what is a legit defense that we've seen. He goes 3 for 3, 52 yards, goes right down the field for a touchdown. I would have loved to have seen what that game looks like yesterday if he's in there the whole time. Look, the Titans, as the game went on, could not stop Jacksonville.
Right.
So I don't think that was going to change, that the Titans were going to win the game yesterday or anything. But I would have loved to see what the Titans could have done offensively had Cam Ward remained healthy in that game yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they would have scored more points. And, yeah, he came out playing well right away. So – It's just an unfortunate way for it to end. But, yeah, I agree. There was, you know, mid-season or so, it was definitely like, okay, what is going on here? And then he seemed to really pick up a few things and improve. And I mean, some of those games just on time and on target faster with a lot of stuff.
Bless you.
Excuse me. But then there were ups and downs after that, right?
Yeah.
And that's a cliche that we've used a lot. You know, it's progress isn't linear. I think there was some, though. So that's good. And definitely want to see what it looks like. If the offensive line a little improved, but also just like building on what it has done, because I think that's definitely part of it too. With a receiver who really scares defenses, you know, I think maybe a little bit improvement in the backfield. And again, the defense matters to quarterbacks too. It's a big part of quarter, you know, not being behind all the time, not being predictable, you know. I mean, having a chance to, you know, just have a better defense. I mean, if they can have a good offseason, then, you know, you hope he can make progress. And, of course, then it's so much of the offseason going to be talking about the shoulder and all that stuff.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Mike in Gallatin to the program. Mike, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Man, we've made it. I think that if anybody can breathe a sigh of relief, I know it's you guys, because this is probably the last day that you guys have to talk about the last football game. You don't have to bring it up anymore. The preseason game that was yesterday is behind us, and I'm just excited to be able to move forward.
Same.
And talk about off season, and then, you know, allow you guys to also dip into other topics and about, you know, potentially even talk about the meltdown that Kim Mulkey had on the court at Memorial Gym yesterday.
Joe Staple. I was watching.
I think she might be my favorite person to watch lose on any coach whatsoever, because her expressions are just so animated. It's hilarious to watch her kind of fall apart. But my question to you guys is Berganzi looking into – any of these other coaches that we potentially could see being let go on Black Monday? I know we don't have a full list, and it's all going to come out today. But is there anybody that's currently on that, like, potential cut list that you guys would entertain as head coaching offers or interesting coordinated choices?
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the call. There are
many.
And there are many that I think could legitimately be out of a job. So we will get into that. You're coming up here in just a few minutes. But to answer the question, yeah, I would have my eyes on a few of them.
John Harbaugh.
Whether that's Harbaugh.
Kevin Stefanski.
Stefanski, I think, is potential to be on that list.
Your guy.
My guy. We'll see.
What if Matt LaFleur?
That's what Florio was talking about over the weekend.
What if he does?
What if LaFleur?
Come on back home. Nashville, Tennessee.
Let's see what happens. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Take more of your thoughts on Cam Ward's rookie season. Plus, 3-14 now, back-to-back years for the Tennessee Titans. Is there light at the end of this tunnel? Is there enough light at the end of this tunnel? We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
What are the early indications on Cam?
We'll see. We'll do more testing. I mean, until they do more testing, I can't give you. You know, I'll give you a better answer down the road.
You guys hadn't called many plays of that variety for him this season. Is it sting that he gets hurt on a play like that?
Yeah, it stings that he gets hurt in general. The way he's played the last, you know, he's played all year long, and the way he's learned and grown as a player, getting better. You don't ever want to see anybody get injured. It's unfortunate because it's the way we went down there and moved the ball. Against a really good defense the first series and scoring points, but it's just unfortunate the way he went down, you know. And
that was Mike McCoy after the game yesterday, Joe. Interim Titans head coach. We'll see if he becomes full-time Titans head coach at some point.
Does it hurt? What would you say, Mike? Does it hurt you?
I watched the entire Mike McCoy press conference yesterday. And at the end of it, it was beautiful. Kowarski just yelling from the background.
Do you want the job, Mike? Do you feel like you deserve the job, Mike?
It was good stuff.
Wow.
All right, for clarification, Mike McCoy does want to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. So. I can't believe Kaharski willingly put that into the atmosphere.
Well, McCoy went through this big old answer right before, and he was like getting all choked up talking about it, how he never thought he was going to get the opportunity to do this again, and he loves to lead, and the Titans are a special place, and they got special people, and he's – he was all in. And so I guess the natural follow-up to that was,
do you want the job, Mike? Do you feel like you deserve the job? So. Would you like to never coach again, please? Thank you.
It was good for PK to get him on the record. Get him on the record.
Good job, PK.
Nice job.
Way to do the job down there, buddy. Hope that urinal and bathroom treated you well.
Yep.
Yeah, did he send out
anything? I didn't see
anything. I was going to ask. I didn't see anything.
I didn't see anything.
Very weak.
No update on the
urinal. Very weak.
At the Jacksonville press box. So that is now 3-14 in back-to-back years for the Tennessee Titans. 3-14. Last year, that was good enough to get you the number one overall pick. This year, you're going to end up, I believe, at number four is where they're going to end up. Although, nice win by the Raiders yesterday. They took down Kansas City. So
my goodness, good Kansas for them. City.
So you have four teams that have finished at 3-14, and the Raiders, the Jets, the Cardinals, and the Tennessee Titans. So for draft purposes, I think fourth is going to be where they're at, but we'll get into all that stuff later. So
it's not far away.
It's not far away. We did have Ed on the YouTube chat ask us things. So can I officially ask now when Brugler is going to be on the show? We'll work on it.
I will try to get him like the week before the draft, maybe this year.
Yeah.
As opposed to like week of draft.
Yeah. We'll see what we can do.
Busy
on
guy.
That front. So it's 3-14 back-to-back years. There's a lot of losing that's gone on around here. And as this year shows you, 3-14 in a league that's designed for as much parity as possible doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to fix it the next year. Now, it's 3-14 back-to-back years. It is also, Joe, the third consecutive year that the Titans have finished in last place in the AFC South. So that is now 4 years in a row. A couple years ago, they did it at 6-11. And we're the last place team in the AFC South. So at the end of all that, you're 3-14. You got a quarterback dealing with an injury. You got a rookie class that, from some of them, your quarterback included, you're feeling okay, pretty good about maybe the direction and the potential moving forward. You got a second round pick that you just have no idea about at the end of it. And still just an absolute avalanche of holes on this roster that you're going to have to fill this offseason. So if you're a Titans fan, now that we've gotten to the end of this thing this year, and we're not playing football again until September, how are we feeling about back-to-back 3-14 seasons and the outlook moving forward? Obviously, at this point, Joe, without having known who's going to coach the actual football team next year.
Yeah, I think some of the answer is just straight up, like, are you a sunshine blower? Are you a – what's the other? What do you call
doom and gloomer?
Yeah. Okay. There you go. A doom and gloomer. Like texture, and I agree with this. I believe the rookie class did well overall. I think there should be some excitement about some of the young players. You want more young players to be excited about, but the two rookie fourth round receivers. I mean, especially DK. I think just because he has the speed, he is obviously a weapon in the return game. I think his ceiling as a receiver, I think, is a little higher too. Even though Iowa Manor had some good moments, you have those guys. You have the young tight end. By the way, Chickaconquo said thank you, Nashville. Goodbye to everybody. He said put that message out there yesterday. For what it's worth, you got a couple of young. I mean, one young lineman who you feel really good about, and one I think you feel better now. You got a young linebacker you feel good about. You got Jeff Simmons coming off an 11 sack year, so it's not hopeless. But again, we are also kind of digging deep to find positives for after a 6-28 2 year run here with just a lot of question marks. And it just, I think a lot of the optimism has to be a little bit muted because of what happened with Cam Ward yesterday.
Yeah, I would agree with that part of it. Like, well, how's that going to affect the offseason? But, like, if you're a Titans fan, and look, if you're in that front office, it's time to take a step forward here. This is the National Football League. You really shouldn't ever go 3-14 back-to-back years. You certainly don't need to be in the mix to go 3-14 next year, right? Like, I'm not even really asking the Titans to go from 3-14 to 10-7 next year. and get in the playoffs. Although, Joe, it feels like we see a team basically do that every year
100%.
At this point. So maybe they can. We'll see. But it's time to start making some progress here. And I realize this will be Borgonzi's second offseason, so it's not like we're deep into the Mike Borgonzi tenure at this point. And by the way, we'll get into the redefining of the power structure coming up here in just a few minutes.
That whole thing
that happened on Friday, so we will get into that. But like it's time to get moving here. This is the National Football League. So, I mean, we've talked about the cap space. They got over $100 million in projected cap space. They're going to have a top five draft pick. They've got a young quarterback that, you know, even though he's hurt, they obviously feel good about moving forward here. They got some young pieces that got significant playing time this year that you feel okay about. It's time to go. Like, it's time to start taking some meaningful steps here as an organization. And if we're having the same conversation next year, and maybe it's not 3-14, but you watch them play and they're, you know, 5-12, and they just don't look like they've gotten a whole lot better. I mean, to me, that's going to be really disappointing here. So, like, if you're a Titans fan, you've had to suffer through all this crap, and I get it. Like, you got to a point this year with the roster, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, where you're just not giving yourself any chance going out there. But it's time to get moving if you're the Tennessee Titans. There's no excuse to be in this situation next year.
It is, and I know we're going to get into the whole front office thing, but, like, you mentioned that, you know, a 5-12, just not a team that really has much of a chance. Then it's like, I mean, right now I think that the prevailing sentiment, or a very strong sentiment, is, okay, Borgonzi, you know, you see some hope there. Well, if that happens, then we'll be talking about him. I mean, that's just a reality, whether it's real or not in the internally. I mean, based on what Amy Armstrong has done, it's so critical that there's a demonstration of, okay, yep, this is the right direction. They got people in charge who know what they're doing, and here's the tangible results that prove it. Because if you don't get those results, then, yeah, that stuff is all on the table again. I will disagree here. Chuck on the text line, you know, he said the division looks like Texans and Jags fighting out for the next 3 years at least. It's going to be very hard for the Titans to climb into that. I mean, Chuck, just remember, a couple years ago, Texans were just awful. They had no hope. Jags coming in this year, who thought they were going to be good? Colts coming this year, who the heck had them as the best team in the league in the first 9 games? The NFL, you just can't predict that, you know, for the next 3 years. I agree, the Texans in particular look pretty good. I mean, they both look good right now. But these things do change so much in the NFL. And so I wouldn't look past the next year much with all this stuff. You know, I mean, is Trevor Lawrence a new level of quarterback now? He looks like he's playing really well right now. But you look at the entirety of his career, I don't know. I don't know where it's going. And obviously the Titans have so much improving to do, but you can, in one offseason, if you have a good offseason, you can get yourself more wins against this last place schedule, and all of a sudden it can look a lot different quickly.
Well, and again, I understand that now he's dealing with an injury, and, you know, until we find out the severity of it and how long it's going to keep him out, I mean, we're just speculating. But it's, you know, Cam Ward, I mentioned it's time to get moving here for the Titans. Well, it's year two for Cam Ward. There needs to be some pretty noticeable progress. Because if there's not, in today's NFL, Joe, like, if it's not meaningful progress next year with a new coach coming in, we're going to be talking about at the end of next year, all right, well, is he your quarterback heading into year three? That's what it is in today's NFL. So whether that's fair, unfair, whatever, like, that's how the game goes in the NFL today. So it's time to get moving. And that's what, again, makes this injury just sucks. Because I, as a Titans fan, would want to eliminate all of the excuses. Let's eliminate all the excuses heading into this. Ward completely healthy, an off-season of work, a new coaching staff coming in, roster that I would assume is going to be incredibly turned over heading into next year, and let's get going. And now, kind of in the background of this, it's like, well, how healthy is your quarterback going to be? How much work is he going to be able to put in the off-season? If he comes out and he struggles at the first part of next year, are we just going to immediately go back to, well, He's been hurt all offseason, so what does that mean? Give him some time. So that's the other part of this that sucks about the injury.
Yeah, there will continue to be the Cam Dews and the What Are You Doings. They have even more reasons to just completely have one-sided arguments on either side of that thing. And you're right, just like with Borgonzi, it's the same thing with War. Like, if it's bad next year, then both of those things are going to be up for discussion. Whether they should be or not, like you want to believe there's more patience, but that's not the NFL. And you know, this coaching hire, of course, is so big. Like they need a hire that's going to make a huge difference for them too, along with obviously having a really good offseason in terms of personnel.
Well, and we will get into that part of it coming up next. You know, Mike from Gallatin asked us earlier about some candidates that could be out there. We'll bounce a few of those names around. We will get into Amy Adams-Strunk redefining the power structure to begin the 7 o'clock hour. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. It is Black Monday in the NFL. Raheem Morris has already been fired. Got fired basically as soon as the clock expired yesterday in the game. Yeah. Raheem, congrats on the win. You're out. See you later.
Yeah, it's almost like Lane Kiffin on the tarmac, yep. Huh?
So,
not a huge surprise there.
None.
It's interesting. Atlanta has kind of been the graveyard of coaches relative to quarterbacks, you know, in recent years. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about the Titans. We're talking about the head coach, thinking about that. But you talk about a good DC candidate in Raheem Morris.
Yep.
He's one of several good possible coordinators out there.
So today, could Kevin Stefanski be added to that list? What's going to happen with John Harbaugh in Baltimore? I mean, you can go around the league. There are a few different scenarios, but let's just start with those two because we were asked about them earlier. Harbaugh, Stefanski, what's your read on both of those situations right now? And if one or both somehow shake free here, how aggressively do you pursue if you're the Titans? How attractive is the Titans' job to those candidates?
Yeah, I mean, Harbaugh, if he's out there, yeah, he'll
be very popular.
Yeah, he'll be very popular. I just have a hard time. It's almost hard to even talk about with the Titans. I think that there'll be like three or four jobs that he'd rather have. And maybe I'm being a little harsh on the Titans there, but it's just hard for me to get to Harbaugh looking at this job. Again, Harbaugh, just like Mike Tomlin, has been at a place with tremendous stability, tremendous ownership, top-down leadership, and look at the consistent success on the field of those franchises.
Yep.
It's not a coincidence at all. And so you're telling me that he's going to look at the instability here? Not to mention, I mean, the only thing that could overcome that would be, like, if you thought Cam Ward was going to be the next great thing, and the guy's been coaching Lamar Jackson. I mean, I just – so now – If he does come available, then everybody else gets pushed down. So that's the thing. You still want that. And Stefanski, I'd be interested in him. It's an interesting thing with him. You know, people in Cleveland have a different view. The day-to-day, yeah, it is. I mean, we see all the things that whoever, you know, Brian Callen, even with Vrabel. Like, you know, there were things about Vrabel that were fair nitpicks, that were fair criticisms, you know. League-wide, it was like, oh, you get two first-round picks for that, dude. Are you kidding me? Why would you get rid of him? Around here, it was like, no. I mean, Vrabel, like, isn't perfect, right? So Stefanski, for people who – there are people who watch him who swear, like, his game management isn't very good and stuff like that. I still feel like he'd be a pretty good candidate. I think the big picture of what he's done is pretty impressive, given all – I mean, think about – you talk about ownership and you talk about decisions and being put in bad spots and all that. Pretty extreme there. And then obviously, then you get into timing with like your guy LaFleur, you know? If they lose this week, do you think the Packers are going to fire him?
I don't. I don't think there's a 0% chance of it. I mean, I've said it before. He's got 1 year left on his contract after this year. They've got basically a new decision maker in charge up there in Green Bay. So I have no idea how he's going to view that part of it. Now, he did, his name's Ed Policy. He did come out the other day and was like gushing about how impressive it is that they made the playoffs with the injuries that they've had. So maybe he just loved Matt LaFleur. I have no idea. We'll see what happens. But I don't know. Like, I know Florio put out a piece over the weekend of, like, if LaFleur ends up being out in Green Bay, that Stefanski could be a name to watch for them. So you've got that situation to monitor. I mean, I don't think the Titans would go this route, but I think he's a good coach. He's just was in a horrible situation, but he's also 74 years old. Like, Pete Carroll looks like he's going to be out one and done with the Raiders. I don't know that that's the route I would go if I'm the Titans. And frankly, after what he just went through, I don't know that Pete Carroll would be all that interested in coming to another bad football team right now. But I think he's at least going to be out there. So you have to throw him into the mix here of potential candidates because it looks like he ain't coming back to the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he might be done. And you talk about ownership and, you know, not
good.
I don't know if it's like, you know, if you're coming from bad ownership, you know, like, or if you're coming from good ownership, I guess either way, you're looking at the Titans and you got serious questions. I would not think that he'd, you know, get into the mix. And then, of course, there's all the names we've been talking about through all this stuff too. There's people talking about McDermott. This has been something that has come up before with Sean McDermott. I mean, if they go out and just get thumped by the Jags, is it possible that he shakes free?
Maybe. I mean, if they get thumped by the Jags and they're out in the first round, then I think it's at least going to be talked about pretty heavily there. And that's another guy that I would be interested in. Again, you know, we're talking about some of these guys, like Stefanski, I think, is a good example. I remember when the Titans played the Browns this year, a couple of those two-point calls. I was like, what's he doing? Like, what is he doing out there? And it was like the 1 2-point conversion attempt was so bad where I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want Kevin Stefanski to be the coach. Good grief. But you look at the totality of what he's done there with the quarterback situation being an absolute disaster. And that's not his fault that the owner decided to go give a blank check to Deshaun Watson and it ended up being an abject failure out there. Like, I do believe deep down that Stefanski is a good coach. But to me, he's just like a lot of these guys that we've talked about that are currently coordinators that have been head coaches before, where he's not a perfect candidate, right? Like, Harbaugh shakes free, it's a little bit different, right? Like, Harbaugh, I don't think you're going to get much argument from people. Like, if the Titans went out to try to go get John Harbaugh to be the head coach and he was interested in coming here, I don't think you get a whole lot of opposition to that. You know, Stefanski to me is probably a notch above, like, Nagy and those guys, but he's still, like, he's not a perfect candidate here. So I just don't know that that guy really exists within the scope of realism, and I don't know that I'm willing to call John Harbaugh. Number one, we'll see if he actually shakes free, but number two, even if he does, it's hard for me to believe here is where he would end up.
Yeah, it is. You know, when we talk about this, we have largely not gotten too much into the Joe Brady's of the world.
Yep.
Again, thinking that Titans might be different and it might be good for them to have someone who's had head coaching success. But, again, let's look at Jacksonville. You know, Liam Cohen, he's, you know, good OC at Kentucky. I mean, Will Levis played well under him. He got him going. Doesn't work out in L.A., back to Kentucky. What, a year in Tampa Bay, right? A year. A year as the OC with Baker, with a solid team. And Jacksonville, to their credit, which usually screws everything up. And I don't know, is it this teenager GM who's the smart guy? All I know is a lot of people looked at that and are like, oh, yeah, okay, Liam Cohen, this dude's like been an OC for 2 years in the NFL, didn't really distinguish himself, and look what he's done. And to me, it's easy to make fun of it because we just heard why it's easy to make fun of it. But the guy must be pretty freaking good. Am I right?
Yeah.
So, again, don't close yourself off to that kind of hire. You just have to make the right one.
I mean, regardless of the hire, I'm kind of rooting for whoever it is to have like a disaster of an initial press conference with the Titans. I mean, I'm trying to think through the list of – coaches in their opening press conference of late where I've just been like, well, they've hired an absolute moron. And I think it's Liam Cohen, Dan Campbell, and Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, they've hired an absolute clown up there.
Oh, and by the way, Vrabel, hey, why are you standing over there? Don't stand to my left. I don't like it. I mean, his first few pressers were like, holy crap, this guy's screwed. So that, you're right. That may be the key.
Like whoever they hire, if it ends up being just a really cringe moment from the press conference or bad, I might be like, well, Titans might be in good shape here. Maybe going well.
Whereas like Rand's presser was amazing. Callahan's presser was amazing. Yep, I think you've hit it.
I think we may be on to something.
Cringy presser, that's the key.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. The power structure clarified by Titans owner Amy Adams Strunk. We will get into that and what we think all that means coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.